better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I wish I could come on here and say that a victory was exciting, but I guess a victory is exciting to a certain extent. But if there was ever a victory that doesn't seem as exciting for fans, at least the ones that we've gone through the previous few years, it certainly seemed like this Portland State game was not it. This was not the game to get excited about or was excited to watch.
There were, you know, there were missed opportunities in the game. There was, I thought, good play on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive side of the ball, there was about three plays that could have made us probably feel different about this game had they went a different direction. But I think people, for the most part, I'll be interested as we read text from the Cherokee Casino Hotline, take people's calls this morning. You know, what is the opinion now that we've had a day or two to marinate in this? Now that we've had a day or two to wallow around and really think about what we saw Saturday together. We weren't here yesterday for Labor Day, which is kind of a new thing. We normally have done a Labor Day show. But I thought we were going to have to come in and do one for a little while.
Yeah.
We always said, well, we kind of jokingly said, well, we're not going to do one unless they lose. Well,
they flirted with it a little bit.
But yeah. I thought defensively that the football team played well. Special teams, okay. Offensively, they got a lot to figure out still.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the main takeaway that I had is that defensively, I liked what I saw. It's hard to really gauge how this team's going to do defensively against some SEC teams because you're playing Portland State. But when we talked about all last week, some things we'd like to see, some things that we want to see from this team, I remember defensively one of the things that we kept bringing out was getting pressure on the quarterback, getting in the backfield, being aggressive, and causing some turnovers. And as far as that goes, they covered all those bases. They got after the quarterback. There was a lot of pressure. But they had some issues with the containment of the quarterback, which, you know, I think that that's something that can be fixed. That's something that you can really work on. But they are at least getting back there. They're whipping that offensive line of Portland State. They caused a few turnovers. And if it wasn't for that the garbage touchdown there in the end on a fourth down play where it's just a crazy, weird play, Arkansas's defense would have kept Portland State from even scoring a single touchdown, held them to all field goals.
Yeah, so. And again, their backup quarterback, who their quarterback that really put him in a position and you know, I say put him in a position. He really took a beating all day. And Davis Alexander, Arkansas had a ton of sacks in this game. Arkansas was disruptive, but he found the edge. I thought he had a lot of good checks during the game as well and got the ball outside when he could, and including a key play on the first drive where Arkansas maybe over-pursued.
Yeah, I liked what I saw defensively. But the offensively, going on the other side of it, though, boy, it was really hard to say, yeah, this offense has really improved, or this offense is going to do some changing this year. This is going to be an offense that's going to lead these teams to victory.
Rakeem Boyd's improved.
Oh, he looks good, man.
Now, this offense is going to go as far as it will go on the back of number five. And we've said this before, but it's been about 13 years ago.
Yeah.
But number five and Rakeem Boyd is the real deal. And I know it was Portland State, and I want to see it again Saturday against Ole Miss to really affirm that opinion, but you can see the talent. I don't care if you're playing Portland State or you're going to play Ole Miss or any of the other SEC teams on the schedule down the road. Rakeem Boyd's a player now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, watching him play, and you could just tell by the way he's moving, he's healthy.
The depth at running back, he's that much better, or Whaley and Hayden have not gotten any better. I'm not sure which, probably some of both.
Mm-hmm.
But there was clear separation in who the number one back is and where the rest of the running backs are on the depth chart.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine to have a key running back who like Boyd and then have two other guys in Hayden and Whaley that are just coming in to help it alleviate some of the snaps from him too.
Maybe not as good at tight end. Now that'll change with Cheyenne O'Grady, but the depth at tight end, at least maybe that's the better way of phrasing it. Mm. Concerning? Is it concern? Should we be concerned?
Those drop passes were concerning to me from Chase Harrell. I mean, that was really concerning.
Two critical drop passes. I think the team had six.
Yeah, he's not a freshman. I mean, guy's been around a while.
Well, and he was this guy that was wide receiver that put on the extra weight to become a tight end, right?
Yeah, you figured that he would be somebody you can count on to catch the ball. I mean, let's be honest. It hits you in the hands, you got to catch it. So that was a little concerning. They do get C.J. O'Grady back, which is fine, and I think that that'll be an impact. But I think offensively, what I'm hoping for at least is that we didn't see it all. It was pretty vanilla for Chad Morris, which we'll talk about some of the things he said in his press conference yesterday and get into all those things on this Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner Toyota. Let's go places. Because I think that Chad Morris, at least in his press conference, by saying, We were very vanilla. We didn't want to show too much to Ole Miss. Hey, I'm hoping he's right. I'm hoping that's the case. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they just really scaled it back, because if not, this offense is going to really struggle against Ole Miss if they didn't.
I mean, I didn't chart formations or anything. I didn't go like way in depth on this stuff. And I don't know. But they ran a lot of what you'd call a 2x2. They had two receivers left and right. And they bring some of the time bring one guy in motion. A lot of times it was Harrell. One back, no tight end. That seemed to be like the base formation for this game. Yes, they ran some other things, but that twin receivers left and right, no tight end, one back, and Boyd or Whaley, whoever was out there, out of the shotgun, seemed to be what this offense did more often than not in this game, or at least particularly in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, do you blame...
And they ran that formation a lot.
I mean, but do you blame Razorback fans for still being not totally sold, totally excited?
Here's what I think. And again, we've had a couple of days to marinate in this, and maybe we can keep the overreactions to a minimum today. But the reality is, Ole Miss struggled with Memphis. They seemed to be figuring it out a little bit more in the second half of that game. Got to watch a lot of the second half of the game. We were on the air for the first half and kept taking a peek at it, but paid a lot of attention to the second half. Memphis was just better, bottom line. Ole Miss and Arkansas are going to have to prove they're better teams in their opening week performances. But I believe Arkansas fans who are, you know, jumping off the Chad Morris bus here this morning and are worried about another 2 or 3 win season at this point will probably have a massive change of opinion if you can go to Oxford and win.
Yeah.
So all of this about the way you played at Portland State will be behind you if you win Saturday.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a game changer for sure. Let's get some quick hitting headlines presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, Williams Tractor has the nonstop workhorse you're looking for with 6 different models and the utility tractors from PowerStar by New Holland. Stop in and check them out. 64 to 117 engine horsepower. They're available at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas. That's the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world. PowerStar utility tractors by New Holland.
So the big news coming out for Arkansas is that they have lost Dorian Gerald, the defensive lineman, for the season, where he had a strained artery and he had to put him on blood thinners, and he is out for the year, which is, you know, a pretty big blow to the Razorback defensive line, as he's a guy that's been around a while. But they're hoping that they can redshirt him and get him back for next year.
Well, they definitely have the redshirt available. A strained artery is not a football injury I've ever heard of.
I haven't either.
I reached out and was talking to Steve Heim, who's an orthopedic surgeon, so this isn't exactly his primary field of medical expertise, but he said, I've heard of artery injuries. We deal with them in the legs and stuff. He's never heard of a strained artery, though, so it was kind of a new way of putting it, in his opinion, but a scary moment. I mean, you think about that. If this goes undetected, this could have caused a real problem, beyond football for Dorian Gerald. Fortunately, he's got that red shirt year. He's going to make a full recovery.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
I want to dive a little more specifically into the offensive side of the ball here in this segment, because let's be honest, the defense looked good. I mean, hey, they held them 13 points. Should have been 6 points, but there was a really – I don't want to say it was just a crazy, fantastic play by Portland State there towards the end, in the end of the fourth quarter. But anyway, a fourth down play, long pass, just kind of happened. So the defense overall played well, but I think everybody's concerned, at least from my opinion after the game and some of the tweets that I had and – some of the discussions I was seeing between Razorback fans was, okay, hey, this offense, where's the up-tempo, full-tilt boogie, left lane hammer-down offense?
I don't remember one time There might have been one sequence.
I'd say I remember one.
One sequence I do remember where Arkansas snapped the ball with 30 or more on the play clock. Other than that, I mean, we know there were some communication issues towards the end of the first half between the sideline and getting the call into the field. That can happen in the heat of the battle. If you've watched that video, I retweeted some that Russell Schapp with 4029 had sent out. And, I mean, I guess if it's organized to the point that, hey, if Starkel knows who he's supposed to look, because that's who is out there at that moment, knows who he's supposed to be looking to, you got five guys over there signaling stuff and one guy playing air guitar. So I can understand in the heat of the battle how that's confusing. Here's what I don't understand. How does your starting quarterback or your 1A, 1B quarterback, he's not the starting quarterback, not know that, hey, we got to clock it. Just game management. Get your team to the line. Stop the clock. We got to get some points here. I mean, Chad Morris did what a good leader does. He took full blame, full responsibility for the situation, but there was clearly mass confusion at the end of the first half. But there wasn't a lot of this hammer down, left lane, full tilt boogie, get after it offense. Now, after the game, again on Monday, vanilla by design. You know, we can talk about the philosophy of that, whether that's the right way to approach it or not, but hopefully these up-tempo packages are in there, John, to be used this week at Oxford, because you got to win this week.
Yes.
Or people are really going to sour on their opinion of this season, considering that Ole Miss just lost to Memphis this past weekend.
Yeah, and did not look good doing it whatsoever. So, I mean,
particularly in the first half.
Yeah, that's something that's got to be concerning. But, you know, one of the things that I will say about this offense is that if it was vanilla by design, if they were actually wanting to be vanilla and not pass the ball down the field all over the place because they wanted to really keep everything close to the chest, then that's fine. That's great. And I'd be completely and totally okay with that. But the concerning thing happens is when you see the offense perform the way they did, and it's not just a play calling or anything, but having the drop passes the way that they did, having the plays that, especially there close to the goal line where you couldn't convert, you couldn't find a way to get into the end zone. I mean, those are the things that, hey, if you're going to be going up against some SEC teams, you can't have. And Ole Miss, I know they don't look like a very good team. I mean, Memphis is a fine team, and it's not like they lost to Georgia State, which we'll talk about later. But they look terrible. But so you look at both of these teams and who they're and when they're going to be going up against some of these opponents, you make you wonder, really, okay, is Arkansas going to have these same issues against Ole Miss? And if they are offensively, then this team is not going to win any SEC games. Because this offense, listen, I understand that you want to hold things back, and I get that. But you're telling me you couldn't take one shot down the field? Mm-hmm. You couldn't have one play that you throw out there and say, hey, let's have some fun here. Let's see what this team's capable of. Let's see what they're going to do. You can't do one of those plays? Mm-hmm. To at least, I'm not saying that you care about the fans and getting confidence in it, because winning is all that matters, but I'm telling you right now, against Ole Miss, you better show something offensively or people are going to say, okay, that was BS, the fact that Chad Morris was saying, oh, we kept it close to the chest. That was an excuse. You have to show a completely different offense this week against Ole Miss if that's the case.
Well, and I think to do that, you're going to have to fix a few of the things. I thought for the most part, the offensive line played well, but there's a few things when you're going to get pressure. I thought they showed some weaknesses in some places where you can give up some pressure. Seemed like any time Arkansas got the running back out of the backfield to go into a pattern to catch pass, to, you know, or just went empty, which they did not do often, they had trouble protecting the quarterback. But I thought for the most part, John, the O-line in pass protection played well.
Yeah.
Now, there were times where they tried to run the ball, and it was just a mess in there, and the back had to bounce to the outside, whether it was Boyd or Whaley or Hayden. So they're going to have to work on the run game part of it. But, yeah, there's going to have to be some differences in this team, and the old adage of making the most improvement from game one to game two – they might need to set a world record on that.
Yes. You're going to have
both of these teams, actually.
Yeah, you're going to have to show me something, because, listen, is it too much to say that the entire season for Arkansas pretty much rides on this game this weekend?
I think that's too much to
say. Okay, well, then maybe I should scale it back a little bit. Be a little vanilla with my statement then, if that's the case. But
I know this. the attitude and the mood and the perception of Chad Morris and this program can drastically change, even with a win over a struggling Ole Miss team right now.
Yes, yes. Ole Miss is not a good team. In fact, they may even be worse than what they were last year. That was possible. And Arkansas should have beaten them.
So if you lose to them, what does that say? What does that say about where you're at as a program?
That you're not much more improved. I mean, and that's the reality. And I know that that's not what people want to hear, but it's the truth. If you don't win, if you don't beat Ole Miss this weekend, how can you feel confident that this team is actually better than what they were a year ago? Yeah. How can you do that?
Yeah. Brought to you by Trinity Multifamily, your teammate in the real estate game. If you're looking for a new place to call home, whether it's across town or across the state, call Trinity Multifamily, 479-452-1817, or use the easy search tool online at trinitymultifamily.com. Put in your parameters of how many bedrooms, baths, what you're looking for. It'll find all of their different available units across the 15 different states they manage. They got over 21,000 units in inventory. Trinity Multifamily, they are your teammate in the real estate game.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. James is in Fort Smith. What's going on, James?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm okay. My main concern about the offense was the offensive line. I just, against who we were playing, I thought we should have averaged like 6, 7, 8 yards a carry. And I don't really remember one play, but we hit a couple of seams and got some good runs, but we never blew them off the line. And as far as pass protection, either Hicks is not comfortable behind the line or he's making slow reads. There were several times when, really, I thought we were going to get sacked. We nearly escaped the sack, and that shouldn't happen against a team like that. So I don't see a lot of improvement on the offensive line from last year.
To your point, the longest run of the day was 25 yards by Rakeem Boyd, and the average carry on the day on the ground was just under 5 yards, 4.9. I thought, I'm with you, I thought the blocking and opening holes on the ground needs a lot of improvement. I thought the pass protection, when they kept the running back in the backfield, was to pick up any blitz or any late blitz, was pretty good. Now, there were a few stunts or twists where they would bring someone from one side to the other, and I thought Myron Cunningham on a few plays struggled to pick some of that up. But for the most part, I mean, the line, I guess my expectations were so low, James, the line actually played better than I expected.
Well, the other point that I was going to make was Ben Hicks Reed. Was it just me, or was he slow on his reads?
Well, to me, he seemed like he just watched one receiver most of the time, and that was the guy he was going to throw it to regardless. I didn't see a lot of checkdowns or anything like that. But and that's, again, it goes into the point that you're hoping is the case, is that they just really made it so basic to not show too much to Ole Miss that this weekend against Ole Miss, you're going to see a difference. But that's the thing, is when we were talking about the quarterback situation, it's no Starkle got in, very first pass throws a terrible, terrible
that's
interception.
That's the worst pass of the day.
Yeah. And
it's like he was colorblind, like he missed – which team he was throwing it to.
Yeah, now he completed the other four passes that he threw after that, went 4 or 5 and finished the game. But it looks like Ben Hicks is going to start against Ole Miss. But what you're hoping is that Ben Hicks is able to deliver some balls in there, maybe take some shots down the field, because that was the thing we didn't get to see much of, is like, how does he throw down the field? How does he look making those plays? I think that there was some good things that he had as far as being a patient in the backfield. I think that shows his experience in this system and experience as a quarterback. He showed a lot of patience, but He's got to improve, too. He's got to show us something against Ole Miss and playing on the road in an SEC venue. I'm not expecting it to be a crazy atmosphere, but still, he's got to go on the road, and he's got to show something to the Razorback fans as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, James.
One thing you got to be concerned about with the passing game, do you notice Portland State played a lot of man?
Oh, yeah.
Arkansas couldn't get a lot of separations. They had one safety. And again, we talked at the top of the show. This was something our buddy Tyler Wilson pointed out to me after the game, was they played one safety and basically said, come at us. Come on, big boy. Now, is this part of Arkansas didn't want to expose some things down the middle of the field, expose part of their playbook for the games ahead? And that was some of the explanation as being vanilla by design. Why didn't Arkansas take more shots down the field when they were playing man with one safety and bringing someone else down in the box to stop the run? My concern also is still with these receivers. Now, Knox had missed a lot of practice, was out of shape a little bit, or game shape at least. But I still got some concern with these wide receivers and their ability to separate when playing man. You're not going to see much zone in this league. I mean, it's going to be man coverage week in, week out. If you can't get separation with the wide receivers, where is this passing game headed? Because the same thing, if Portland State can walk a safety down and go man and shut you down in a lot of ways, what's Ole Miss going to do? And that, and they're not one of the best in the league. Now, this league had a lot of
man
head-scratching results from the weekend, but most of the teams you're going to play that are on your Western Division schedule, Alabama, LSU, A&M, Mississippi State, those teams won, some more dominant than the others.
Yeah.
You know, most of the head-scratchers came out of the eastern side with Missouri and Tennessee and South Carolina. So, you don't play a lot of those teams. So, or none. So, I mean, you've got some work to do. And I think one of the other areas offensively is you better get those wide receivers figured out and how they're going to get open.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I'm glad we got that bad game out of the way.
That's what you're hoping. You
know? I hope that was the one for the year, Danny.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the one. But, boy, that grass was pretty. I got to tell you, it was beautiful. If you take away the five drop passes, jumping off sides four times in a row.
Yeah, that was weird.
The poor clock management and the inability to down punch. Excellent punch.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you brought that up.
Inside the 5-yard line, we didn't do too bad.
Yeah. If you take away all those things, it's a great game.
Guys, we're playing a lot of freshmen. We're going to get better, and those guys are talented. We're headed in the right direction, but it's going to be a little sloppy maybe. If we can get by this Ole Miss game and kind of get our wheels underneath us, we can get a little momentum, guys. It's not gloom and doom, but have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the phone call, Danny.
No, yeah. I see some parts and pieces there.
Yeah.
I see some things that look far better than a year ago. Some things that look about the same as last year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's doom and gloom. All is lost. This team's going to be another 2-10, 3-19. I don't think it's in that case at all. There was a few things that I saw that I was really excited about. One of them being, you know, just throwing something out there. But, you know, seeing Traylon Burks back there returning punts, you can tell that he's just got he gets it. Yeah. He has the ability to probably take one to the house at some point if he gets a seam.
Remember the one he caught? He had his back towards the south end zone. They kind of kicked a line drive. Yeah, that's one you hope you can field cleanly, or maybe field coming up on the run if a team makes a mistake, because that's a mistake.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the kind of one where he can bust it loose.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh, here we go. When they hit that low kind of line drive, that's when you outkick your coverage, really isn't the right way to put it. But those are dangerous when you got a speedy guy on the other end.
Yeah, and he's got the hands where I guess one of the plays that where they had to delay a game, so they had to repunt it for Portland State. But when they blew the whistle, the ball bounced, and I saw, and I know you probably didn't see it on TV. I didn't know how it was broadcasted, but when the ball bounced right in front of Traylon, it popped right in his hand with one hand, just gripped it like that. I was like, that guy can return punts, and that guy's going to be a great receiver because of his hands.
Right.
But, you know, certain small things like that you see, and it's like, hey, you know, that could be a game changer, not only as a wide receiver, but as a punt returner. But, you know, one of the things also that Danny brought up was those punts. Sam Loy looked pretty good as a punter. I guess we can go ahead and say, hey, look, he did pretty good. At least he did his job, but you got to be able to catch those balls on the 5-yard line.
Danny
man.
Brings up something I got in my notes. I'm sure everybody noticed is twice, and the second one was just really, really bad, where you're standing there, Cadillac position, and you just let it go through your hands and
can't do it
into the end zone on the north end. That was disappointing. But listen, those are minor things in reality. You're in position. You coached them to be where the players have to make the plays.
That's right.
And they will on something like that. So that's a good game to make that kind of mistake, not take any play for granted. You got the speed to get down there. You got the punter that can hang. Everything's in place. You just got to execute the end of the play.
Yeah, this comes from Channing in Midland texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline. He says, I hate that we have to keep saying it, but it's probably not going to happen this year with the young receivers. Just a lot of us, like us have been saying, the young guys have talent, but they got to develop and get stronger and be able to get up off the line. Now, I don't know if we saw enough. I know the drops were bad, and even Trey Knox is somebody that had a drop in that game. But to me, those are things that you can get better at week to week. It's not like this he has to wait till next season for you to improve at these things. These are things that can happen and you can improve on week to week. The good thing is that the real toughest part of your schedule doesn't happen until the second half of the year. So that's where you're hoping you're playing your best football. But a few of these things I think that Arkansas that they struggled with is very fixable, especially on defense. I think there's a lot of things of the mistakes that they made. They're very fixable. It's not like it's impossible and you have to wait until the offseason to recruit your way out of it.
You're hoping they won't be freshmen in about 6 weeks.
Yes, that's what you're hoping for.
I mean, by the end of the year, they're not going to be freshman players at that point. So these true freshmen that are out there getting their first real taste of it, you're hoping that, these guys are going to be far more experienced in not making some of these freshman mistakes and these drop passes, and some of these things just go away. They've got to go away this week to give you a chance to win.
Yeah. But going back to the quarterback situation, are you still concerned about the quarterbacks? Did you feel like there's still a lot there that's...
I'd like to see more Starkle, but the game didn't really give you the chance to.
Right, because here's why I'm bringing it up, because Mike in Murfreesboro texted into our Cherokee Signal Hotline and says, Ben Hicks is like Ty Story, mediocre. He threw several passes behind receivers, and they weren't even that long of passes, in which I remember some of the passes that they had behind. But I don't know, is it really fair to have a one-game evident pool to be able to say this quarterback situation is not any better than what it was last year? I don't think that's fair, but at the same time, I didn't really see anything either that just said, okay, This is going to be great the going forward. I mean, it's still up in the air.
The one that stood out to me as far as an inaccurate pass, they had a 3rd and 5 screen play. They were moving towards to the left on TV towards the north end zone. They had a 3rd and 5 play, and they throw a simple little behind-the-line screen out to Rakeem Boyd. And Hicks just, I mean, from me to you, man, just misses. Yeah. And Boyd's having to turn and try to catch it on the run while turning because the pass is just not led out in front of him where it needs to be. And that was a 3rd and 5 play. I don't think it's a bad play call, because if it's caught where it's supposed to be caught, they probably get 5 and then some. So it's those 2 or 3. It's like my golf game. It's those 2 or 3 holes around that just screw the whole thing up. It's those 2 or 3 plays a game they got to get fixed that I don't know that make the difference against the A&Ms and the Alabamas and the LSUs. But they're going to make a difference against the Ole Misses and maybe the Mississippi States, the Kentuckys, and the Missouris of the schedule.
Yeah, because listen, on defense, and I know it's Portland State, but on defense, I saw some things from them that you didn't see from last year that at least gives me some hope that, hey, this defense can be able against some of these lesser SEC opponents, not Bama or anybody like that, but some of these lesser SEC opponents you're going to be playing that'll keep you in the game. Because that's why I feel like the defense at this point is their role, is just to keep you in the game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's where the offense has to step up, where they have to be, okay, they're going to keep us in the game. We got to do our part, too. We got to score some points. And against Ole Miss this weekend, they're not very good offensively. And if Arkansas's improved on defense, you may see a struggle there. It's going to be pointing to the offense. All right, defense doing their job, guys. Go out there and execute. Go take advantage of turnovers. When you're in the red zone, score some points and manage the clock correctly.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say this. You got Ole Miss this week, but what I saw Saturday, don't think you're out of the woods against Colorado State or San Jose State.
No.
I mean, if you play like you did Saturday, one of those teams will beat you, if not both. So there's got to be a lot of it. It's not just about Ole Miss. It's about trying to get to that 4-0 start.
Yeah.
And you just got a long ways to go to make that happen.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at this point in time, if they don't start 4-0, seeing that what you saw against Ole Miss, it'll kind of be a disappointing year no matter what. Because if you can't beat Ole Miss, Ole Miss is your easiest SEC game. And we all knew this going in. But if you don't beat Ole Miss, listen, you're not going to beat A&M. You're not going to beat Kentucky. It just doesn't look good for you the rest of the way.
You can improve. I mean, just because you played bad week one doesn't mean you got to play bad the rest of the way.
Right, but the last thing you want to do is at the end of the year look back on and say you went 5-7 and golly, you lost to Ole Miss. You shouldn't have done that.
I get it.
So that's all my point.
It's like missing the 4-footer on the second green.
Yes, exactly.
I get it.
Man, your golf game.
It needs a lot of work.
Doesn't it all, man?
Hey, Metal Mart offers high-quality prefabricated metal buildings, metal roofing, carports, and custom trim. Contractors as well as the do-it-yourselfers are welcome. They have locations across the state, including Little Rock, Pine Bluff, Jonesboro, Mayflower, and in Fort Smith as well. Also find Metal Direct on Enmar Drive, one block off University, behind Napa Auto Parts. Metal Mart, the right material for the right price.
Let's go ahead and squeeze a quick phone call into the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Matt is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, we were at the game this weekend and got box seats up there, season ticket holder. But, hey, guys, y'all brought up an interesting fact. Colorado State coming up, you know, they're the sleeper. They give Colorado all they wanted in that game this last weekend. And if our fans think that we're out of the woods with just going down to Oxford, say we do get the W this weekend, Colorado State's still going to give us all we want. And I'm not too sure that, if our offense keeps playing like that, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I'm not saying we're going to get our butt kicked, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So thanks for the phone call, guys, and y'all have a good morning.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Matt. I know, I think that's where a lot of Razorback fans are at, where it's like this Ole Miss game, of course you want to beat an SEC team and Ole Miss and all that, and I get it. But it's also about, hey, okay, really show us, Chad Morris, that this offensive performance on Saturday against Portland State was just you and your staff holding a lot back. Because if you are showing the same type of stuff against Ole Miss on Saturday, same type of formation, same type of creativity, same types of plays, you're not going to beat Ole Miss. And in fact, there's going to be a few teams you probably should beat that you won't unless the offense really gets going. And it comes back to this too. Chad Morse is supposedly an offensive guru. He knows offense. He's an offensive coach. Him and Joe Craddock do a lot of things with the offense. I mean, that's what their identity is supposed to be. And if you can't show vast improvement, and maybe someone like Cheyenne O'Grady getting on the field is going to be a difference. Yeah. I think that there's a few players that can make a difference. And like Tommy said, they're going to get better as the season goes on. But this Ole Miss game is crucial for you, because if you don't win this one, it's like, when's your next SEC victory going to happen? Not saying it's impossible, but certainly going to put you behind the eight ball of at least making a bowl game for sure.
At least you're not Tennessee.
Man, you ain't lying.
At least you're not Tennessee. But I'll tell you, that's not the most shocking loss of the weekend in the SEC.
Nope.
It had to be Missouri,
had
right?
To be.
Going to Wyoming, all this.
What was it? Vegas had him at over-under eight and a half wins. I mean, they were like, hey, this is a cakewalk for them. Losing to Wyoming?
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Of course, a few people that feel good about what they saw. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. They don't feel good about what they saw, but they certainly don't think the sky is falling. They don't think that all is lost and this team is terrible and they're not any better than last year. But there are some people like, for instance, Tucker and Sherwood, who says, is anyone else getting the sense that they were watching a Brett Bielema time of possession offense with a huddling 10-plus play extended drives that stalled in the end zone?
Clearly they struggled in the red zone.
Clearly.
And, you know, and I go back, and I guess the first thought on that is the possession right before the first half, and that's the one that really sticks in your crawl, because it was a miscommunication between the sideline, Nick Stark on the field, and not getting the ball clocked, not getting the clock stopped in order to at least kick a field goal. But that really probably shouldn't be the biggest concern, because that's easily fixed.
Yes.
You know, they can have one staff meeting, one meeting with the players, and fix that issue right there. Problem is, what do you do when you get down to the red zone, and can you pass the ball? Can you make the defense not load the box up? Because that was the one thing I'm still seeing, is not a lot of respect for the passing game, even from Portland State at this point. Not thinking, you know, Arkansas is a real threat to stretch the field. These wide receivers, we're going to have to honor what they could do. We got to cover them. They were walking one safety down going man, and Arkansas still wasn't able to, I think, achieve what they wanted through the passing game through that.
But did you see anything, though, from the game on Saturday that is just, you don't feel like it's going to be fixable this season?
Nope.
I mean, since that's where I'm at, I understand people's frustrations. I understand people not buying in and saying, oh, yeah, 6-6 by far, easy. I understand that. But I feel like most of the issues that you saw, whether it's the drop passes, whether you mentioned the clock management there at the end of the first half, you know, some of these miscommunication things, I think for the majority of the issues that they have are fixable things. Now, whether or not they fix it is going to be the thing that has to be determined. But I didn't see anything that just made me say, ooh, they're not going to have this part of it fixed until they get out there and recruit a bunch of better players, or they get into the offseason and develop it or anything like that. That's where I feel like maybe I'm still reeling a little bit from getting all crazy with saying that this team's not any better, because it seems like there's a lot of you that feel like this is another 2-10, 3-19 based off of one game. Listen, folks, there weren't many teams that looked good on week one, and I know that you don't care about that. You just care about Arkansas and how they looked. I get that. But listen, here's my whole point, though. If at the end of the season, if Arkansas goes 6-6, which we've all said, hey, it's a great season, all things considered, is anybody who's going to go 6-6 be like, yeah, they went 6-6 and that's fine, but that Portland State game, week one, they only won by a touchdown. So it really puts an asterisk here on the season. No. No one's going to care. All they care about is that you got a victory. That doesn't mean you can't have legitimate conversations of some things that you didn't like or that you're concerned about. I think everybody should welcome those things, and you have a right to be critical because you know what's happened in the past few years. But also, realize it's one game. Get a couple more games. Find out what you got against Ole Miss this weekend before you start jumping ship and saying all is lost this season. That's all I'm saying. Just wait.
Arkansas was still 4-6 in the red zone. They technically had 12 possessions, but really 11, because that one at the end after the interception that Fouché at the end of the game that closed it out. It was one play, took a knee. And so really 11 possessions, 11 times, or 6 of 11 times they got into the red zone. 4 of those they scored. You obviously want more touchdowns and less field goals, though. And honestly, you go back and you look at Portland State and the way they scored their points. You aid them with a boneheaded 15-yard penalty to start the game after the opening kickoff. You give them great field position where they only needed about 3 plays really to get in position to score. So they get the field goal there. They get a field goal later on, and then they get a touchdown later on a busted play that should have been a sack, twice should have been a sack, with a backup quarterback in, and they floated on downfield beyond the secondary and really kind of a grab in traffic. Gets loose and just a breakdown in defense there.
Yeah.
So defensively, I'm not as concerned as I think a lot of us are with the offense. And just, okay, if that was vanilla and that was base, I don't really understand why you would do that when you're in the position you are with your program. You don't want to show Ole Miss anything. You could flip it and say, well, I want to show Ole Miss everything. Prepare for all this, guys. Hey, get ready for all of this stuff. We're going to show you every formation we got. Good luck. There's that side of the coin, too. But nonetheless, Arkansas better come out this week and show a whole different style of offense and look kind of like a different team offensively, honestly.
Yeah, they have to do that for sure. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. JP is in Greenwood. What's going on, JP?
Hey, how you guys doing? I got a few points I want to make. Number one, I mean, we all know Ben Hicks, they talked about his arm strength. And that will be something that I will be concerned about later on in the season, especially against an SEC opponent. To me, he knows the offense, but the ball doesn't come out to me fast enough and it doesn't get to the receiver. Sometimes it looks like it's floating there. It gets there, but it's like it's floating there. That may be a concern against Ole Miss, I mean, because you're going to get an SEC school with a faster secondary. That may be a concern. And another thing I know people was talking about, I was one of those that was concerned about the offense. But, I mean, you know, if you're playing a SEC school week 2 in the season, you don't want to show them anything because you're going to give tape for other teams to prepare for you, you know, coming on at the season. And like anything new, you got new players, you're breaking into the system. Basically the whole offense is new. So, I mean, why was people expecting us to, you know, go out and, I guess, win by 4 touchdowns or whatever? I guess that's what everybody was disappointed in. You're just a point spread or whatever. But, I mean, with anything new, you got to work out the kinks with that. And I think you're going to see progress from the team against Ole Miss. Now, I'm not saying it's a win. I feel like we should beat Ole Miss. But, I mean, it's uncertain because you don't know how the new players are going to react on the road. You don't know how the quarterback's going to play on the road. And all that's going to come into factor. But I feel like when Chad Morris said it was vanilla, it was vanilla. I mean, you don't want to show anything when you got to play an SEC opponent in week 2. And, I mean, you know, you don't want to give them anything to prepare for. They got to look at last year's game tape. And guess what? Nobody that on offense, well, besides Rakeem Boyd, I don't even know if he played early in the season last year. But, I mean, nobody else is on there, so you got to prepare for what you got in week one. And week one, they didn't show too much. So, I mean, you don't give them a lot to prepare for, and now you can bring out new wrinkles. And, I mean, the element of surprise is on our side. I mean, we were picked to finish last, so, I mean, you know, people just wait and see, hold your horses, and we'll see. And, I mean, if it's like we saw this past weekend, then, hey, it's going to be a long season. But
yeah,
I think we're going to be in good hands, though.
JP, thanks for the call.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I mean, that's the thing is you have to wait and see. That's where I'm at. It's like I'm not saying it was a great performance, and I'm all excited about it. I want to see what they do the rest of the season, especially this week against Ole Miss, too.
Yeah, hey, have you ever experienced transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and want to be a part of a trucking family with insurance and be home every week? You need to contact Brent Higgins Trucking. They've been doing it since 1997. They proudly deliver into various areas of the United States, including but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Call Brent Higgins Trucking today where you're a name, not a number, 479-997-2366. Or online at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
And a lot of people calling into our Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Let's go back to that. Roberts, who's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. I don't care about this vanilla thing myself. It's just because we're only running supposedly 40% of the playbook, and if that's 40% of the playbook, we don't run it well. we didn't push – the quarterbacks didn't push the ball down the field. They had a mediocre, they were average, and we thought that, though, because if you listen to coaches, they were never, you know, just stark raving mad about them anyway, you know. Our running backs did well, and the defense did what they were supposed to against a school like that. Our defense will hold us. But if our defense can't hold an SEC team, we've got to get more out, and we all know this. We know we got to get more out of the offense if we're going to have a long year.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this real quick, Robert. If Arkansas goes on the road and offensively they really show something different against Ole Miss and ends up being successful and scores more points and all that, is that going to change your mind a bit? Or are you just saying this? If this is the way it's going to be, it's over from here?
No, if they go and beat Ole Miss, then that tells us something because you've beaten an SEC school. Yeah. You did not. I know everybody, oh, you won a game, and yeah, we won, and we won one more away from two. That's true.
Yes.
But just like the eye test right now, and the eye test is horrible. And that's what – and I know we're not even near –
It is on offense. You can't say the defense is horrible, though.
No, the defense gave you SEC. That's what they were supposed to – they shut a team down. That if you shut that down in SEC play, you're going to win games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if the offense doesn't push the ball, our defense is going to get tired. They can't stay on the field all day.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I agree with you, Robert. The defense is going to be able to keep you in the games, and appreciate you calling. Yeah. But, yeah, you can't win if you can't score. I think that's the old adage in pretty much any sporting event. So you got to be able to score.
How do you
points.
Score with defense more? maybe we'll tackle that topic later on.
Yeah, just get a few pick sixes.
Got three. Yeah, not pick sixes,
not pick
but
sixes, yes.
Three picks.
Yeah, they probably should have had a pick six. And say, listen, when you go block people instead of saying come on over like some of the defensive linemen were. I think it was on Cameron Curl's interception where it looked like he had a crease. There's more defensive players that are like celebrating and dancing and coming on instead of going
Act
out and
like
blocking
you've been
people.
There. Yeah,
go out and block people. That's what I'm saying. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jeremy's in Van Buren. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, guys. I guess I just want to reflect on the game just a little bit. I don't know about you all. I know we're all kind of upset, in my opinion, as far as the offensive performance. But the biggest takeaway in comparison, in my opinion, to last year, I never felt that we were going to lose that game. The last few years, it's almost like, oh, no, here we go. So I'll hang up and get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never felt like it was
no.
The game was in doubt. Never felt threatened to lose. I was a bit uncomfortable with a minute to go when Portland State had the ball back, and we've seen some of those defensive collapses. But obviously, you saw the interception that pretty much was the dagger.
Wait, so. you didn't feel like the game was in doubt or that Arkansas could lose like during the game? Is that what you're saying?
No, I agree with, was it Jeremy?
Yeah.
I agree with Jeremy. I never felt like Arkansas was going to lose.
See,
now, I was very uncomfortable when it was final score, 20-13, and it was, a minute and two to go or whatever it was when Portland State took over.
Yeah.
Because how many times have we seen, even though they had the entire field in front of them, what was it, they got the ball to 4-yard line or something like that? I mean, even then, you don't feel like, okay, we got this one in the bag, you know.
As a Razorback fan, you can never, ever feel good about anything until the clock strikes zero. you just can't afford that. You don't have that luxury right now, for sure. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Arthur's in Russellville. What's going on, Arthur?
It all boils down to the coach. You can talk about players. You can talk about anything you want to. But it's the coach's responsibility to get these players ready to play, and he ain't been doing it. It's just that simple. Those players were not ready to play Saturday. And it's all on the coaches. And now I know why they had closed practices, because he didn't want us to see what the heck was going on. I'm sorry, but let's call it like it is. We should have beat that team a lot worse than we should have. And the reason we didn't is because those boys are not being coached very well. Now, I'm just saying, that's the way it is. Now, maybe he'll get better. I don't know. We'll see next week. But it boils down to the coaches, and I'm not impressed at all. I'm just not.
Well, Arthur, I'll ask you the same question, but if they beat Ole Miss, will you start kind of feeling a little better about it?
If they beat Ole Miss, then I might start feeling a little bit better.
Okay.
You know, maybe about the thing, but the reason I say it's coaching is that they made some stupid bonehead mistakes, unsportsmanlike conduct, this and that and the other. That's just poor coaching. I'm sorry. Last year during the Colorado State game, whenever they faked us out on that punt, That's poor coaching. And I'm sorry, I'm not impressed with Chad Morris. I think he's in over his head, and I don't think we're going to beat Ole Miss at all. I think we're going to get smacked, is what I think. But hey, I'm a Razorback fan, and I'm willing to give the coach the benefit of the doubt and give him a chance. What I'm saying is, so far, he has not proven to me that he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe, you know. But it's the coach's responsibility to make sure that the players get ready to play the game. And I'm sorry, those players are not ready to play. The defense did pretty good, you know, but the offense and this and that, they just weren't, to me, they just didn't look like they were ready to play. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am.
Yeah.
But it boils down to the coach. And, I mean, you can have five-star athletes all over the field, but if they're not being coached the right way, then those athletes aren't going to do you any good.
Yeah. Well, and I understand your point, Arthur, and appreciate your phone call, man. I understand your point. Listen, the guy's 3-10 as a Razorback head football coach at this point in time. I understand it.
And
yet I get
to be at a Power 5 team.
Yeah, yet to beat a Power 5 team. But, you know, there's still 11 games left in the regular season, and as I've said before, if they go out and beat Ole Miss, if they look better against Ole Miss, especially offensively, then I think a lot more people are going to start to come around. But until that happens, we just have to wait and hold your breath and try to talk about the actual game that we saw against Portland State.
Saturday is so huge
for
Chad Morris.
It's major.
Just huge. I mean, because I think a lot of people are like Arthur. Their opinion is just kind of hanging out there, 50-50 with this coach. Saturday is huge for Chad Morris. Try the house-smoked bacon at Art's Barbecue. You can have it on any sandwich. The BLT is great. Get the extra bacon for a buck more. Any of their burgers, you can add the bacon to it, whichever one you like. And, of course, the bacon cheeseburger is outstanding. The reason their bacon is so good, they brine it for 2 weeks, smoke it in their own smokers, slice it, and cook it right there. You're not going to find better bacon to go with any meal than you'll find at Art's Barbecue. Don't forget Saturdays. Perfect for game days. Dollar off all burgers every Saturday at Art's Barbecue. Use the Waiter app as well to have it brought to you. Art's Barbecue, Rogers Avenue, Fort Smith.
If you want to get on conversation, be sure to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. I know a lot of you have been coming in on it. And just from what we gather in our texting line and from the phone calls, it seems like most people are still not convinced that this team is better, not convinced that this season's going to be different from last year, and I get it. I understand it. I think we all understand it. But the thing is that there were some positives that you could take away from Saturday's game. May not be what you want to hear, but there were a few good things. The defense looked good. I liked what the secondary was able to do. You know, they had some turnovers, caused some turnovers there. Even Chad Morris mentioned how he wished there was a few more takeaways from the defense as far as the way that the quarterback was carrying the ball. They wish they would have popped it out
a little bit. Three.
I thought that was wasn't that their goal, three a game?
You should never lose a game where your turnover margin is where you're getting three takeaways, you know, because you need to take care of the football better.
Yeah. So and here's another thing, Tommy. I know that maybe nobody else
cares
plus about
two,
it.
I guess net two on the turnover.
Nobody else cares about it, but there was no pre-snap penalties.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's something.
And the defense, until they lost their minds,
yeah, what, that was
late in the game, had no penalties, right?
Yeah. What was that going on where you had like seven flags on one possession from both teams? I'm like, what am I watching?
It was just terrible football, but it was all just like young linemen and really not all, you know, Fouché jumped or lined up. I mean, one of them twice, they just lined up in the neutral zone. Then twice or three times. It was like four offsides penalties against the Razorbacks. I mean, yeah. It was.
Like, how do you jump offsides that many times?
One time was Marshall, who was lined up as a nose guard, right over the football.
You have the best view of the football.
Right.
You don't have to look at anything. So, yeah, that was definitely frustrating for sure. All right, let's get into your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, if you're looking for custom T-shirts and have your logo printed on a T-shirt, a golf shirt, or anything, including canvas, leather, denim, and a whole lot more, you need to head to the Ozarks because they now do custom printed T-shirts and embroidery on anything in-house. They have bought the state-of-the-art cutting-edge printing and embroidery machines to make your logo look great on anything. Stop in and see it for high-quality printing and embroidery now available in-house at the Ozarks. That's Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear and Ozark Sportsman Supply. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, obviously Arkansas getting the victory over Portland State 20-13. Ben Hicks, 14 of 29 for 143 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Nick Starkle got two possessions where he came in. Goes 4 of 5 for 48 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. His very first pass was a brutal, brutal interception. And you're hoping that can get shored up if he's still going to be competing for the quarterback position. Also on the rushing side of things, Rakeem Boyd goes over the 100-yard mark, 18 carries for 114 yards. It's about 6.3 yards a pop. Does get a touchdown out of there. He had the longest play for Arkansas, 25-yard run. Also, Davion Warren, which was nice to see him get involved. He seems like he's got the speed that you're hoping to see out of some sort of playmaker. They just got to find a way to get into the ball more.
You used to call them jet sweeps or whatever. Yeah. You'd bring in the wide receiver around in motion, then just you fake the handoff up front and hand it to him in the back, and he just sweeps around the end. They used to run that with Joe Adams a lot in the Petrino days. Just, it's a way to get more of your speed on showcase.
Yeah.
And he looked good.
Well, it's nice when you have that extra momentum when you're already running as soon as the ball snaps and then you hit it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you want to see. And I think that he's going to have a chance to break one sometime this year as well. Looks like the young receivers who we talked about needing to step up, they were the ones that were definitely making the plays there at the wide receiver position. Treylon Burks has 3 catches for 52 yards. Trey Knox only had 1 catch for 38 yards. Should have had more catches, but had a couple of drops there. Mike Woods, 5 catches for 30 yards. He definitely had the most. The tight end position got involved with Grayson Gunter. He had 3 catches, 16 yards. Chase Harrell had 1 catch for 14 yards, but a bunch of drops. He should have had a lot more, too.
Biggest Razorback news coming out of this game is that Dorian Gerald.
Yep.
Got to be. That's a big loss on your defensive line. So, I mean, depth is always an issue up front, but big loss here to lose a senior. I know you can replace him with a senior Bell, but
there's a reason why.
That's a huge hit for the defensive line.
There's a reason why Gerald was above Bell on the depth chart.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, man. Thanks for having me on this morning, guys.
Well, it's always good to have you on, and it's really good to have you on to be able to actually talk about a football game for a change. So we'll just start right there with you, Tom. Your biggest takeaway from Arkansas's victory over Portland State, 20-13?
Well, it was very unsatisfying, for starters. When you're watching that game live or on TV, you just expect the Razorbacks to be able to close things out a little bit better than they did, build up a bigger lead, and it was pretty shocking to see Portland State get the ball back with a minute something left with a chance to go tie the game or possibly win it with a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, one of the biggest headlines to come out of it since we last visited or since Saturday was Dory and Gerald, who left the game in the second quarter. We find out yesterday, Tom, that he has a strained artery, which in his neck, which is something I've never heard of as a football injury. This will sideline him for the rest of the year, but he still has a red shirt available. Your reaction to losing Dory and Gerald for the season?
Well, it certainly impacts the depth at that position, and they were already going to have to play some younger guys. And I mean, it was a weird position. Three seniors who were going to give you probably the bulk of the reps, and then a bunch of young guys like Mateo Stoli. And he's also hurt, too. He's got some kind of bone fracture in his right hand and will have to play with a cast on. So Eric Gregory, who got injured during camp with a high ankle sprain, has come back, and they're probably going to need him pretty quick, too. So with Zach Williams, and then Colin Clay probably factors in some, too. So I think Gerald was probably their best pass rusher. He was off to a pretty good game. I know he had already exerted some pressure on the quarterback, Davis Alexander. So just a position where the young guys are going to have to factor in a little bit quicker than maybe you thought.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Cherokee Casino Hotline on the Morning Rush. Tom, offensively seems to be the storyline as far as for Arkansas's performance, because I felt like most people at least did. The defense played really well, but the offense, it seemed kind of slow. I know Chad Morris talked about it being very vanilla, but didn't go up-tempo a lot, didn't take a lot of shots down the field. Were you surprised with the lack of big plays, or at least the attempts for big plays in game one, or were you kind of expecting to see Chad Morris be really vanilla, as he said?
No, I expected a few more deep shots and maybe a little bit more PT for Nick Starkles. It's kind of a weird situation. They ended up only with 11 viable possessions and 77 snaps. They got the 138-yarder to Trey Knox, and there was a couple more. I know Traylon Burks caught a 20-yarder, and there was a couple of more shots that they just didn't connect on, a little behind them. And it's kind of the stuff that we expected. Now, what we saw in camp, there was a little bit of an issue with the mesh and the timing, and the receivers in a few instances didn't get enough depth. And it's because Knox and Burks are basically, we're not forced into action, but without Deion Stewart, without Jordan Jones, they're playing more reps. And Trey Knox was coming off the mono, which, affects your energy level. And he had, I think they said, 30-something snaps. So he ended up playing a good bit more than maybe you would have thought. So it's just something that I think in week two they're going to be better at. But if you examine this thing from the broad perspective, take everything into account, you didn't see any backs going the wrong way or, collisions in the backfield. There were no pre-snap penalties at all. I think there was one holding penalty on Austin Capps. So it was a relatively clean game from the offensive line. So to me, their offense is going to be like an onion. They didn't show a whole lot, and they're going to peel back a little bit more this week against Ole Miss. You have to save up two or three things for that game. And I'm talking about, sets, formations, and just concepts that Ole Miss is going to have to adjust to in game. So from that perspective, there's a little bit of hope for Arkansas fans that they can put some things out there in this game that Ole Miss might have some struggles with. So I know it doesn't feel satisfying after a game like that, but I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams, and the Razorbacks are going to have a shot on Saturday.
Tom Murphy with us on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Saw a lot of man coverage, manning up on the wide receivers from the Portland State defense. Probably didn't get the separation they were looking for on Saturday. How concerned are you with this wide receiver group, and can they mature fast enough for SEC play to do better against the man coverage they're going to see in SEC games?
That's a great question, and it remains to be seen. I mean, Jordan Jones won't be back for a couple more weeks, so you're going to see a lot more of Mike Woods, Traylon Burks, Trey Knox. They also played some zone, and I don't have the depth chart in front of me, but number 14, a safety for Portland State, they thought they could exploit him, and apparently he made great strides in the offseason and covered a little bit better. He was the guy in coverage on the Grayson Gunner crossing route early in the game. Arkansas's first possession, they ended up having to kick a field goal. So, you'd like to see a little bit more open receivers. And I have to think that in this game there's going to be some concepts that are going to be able to get to Arkansas some deeper shots down the field.
Tom, something that we discussed when we were going through all the issues that stood out to us, we felt like most of the problems that Arkansas had are pretty fixable problems, at least as the season goes on. Was there anything just glaring to you that stood out where it's just like, man, this may take another year before they can really get it going? Or were most of the things fixable in your opinion as well?
That's a great question. I haven't considered it in terms of how quickly you can fix some of the issues. But as I mentioned, no pre-snaps. There was a Cam Curl late hit when the quarterback stretched out with the ball. That was the only defensive penalty until that one kind of tragic series there late in the game. I thought they got good pressure on the quarterback. They collapsed the pocket a lot. They sent extra blitzers. There was one double safety blitz at one point in the game. Fouché was a pretty frequent blitzer. He did well. And the fixable stuff is the timing of the timing and depth of some of the route, the progressions in the passing game. What Trey Knox sees or Treylon Burks sees and how they interpret that with Ben Hicks and where they need to get on the field. So that is fixable for sure. And if they had just, you know, if they had just gotten in after the Cam Curl interception and score another one along the way, you know, maybe you're looking at a 37-6 game and fans would be a lot more satisfied. So in my view, there's still a wait and see about, look, you got a team you can go out and dominate. Go out and do that. Put the game away. And I get the frustration that you got to feel when you're not able to do that. But you can't be blowing opportunities like the end of the first half. If you do that in an SEC game, it's going to come back and haunt you.
Tom, as always, appreciate you joining us, man. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, all right?
Yeah, we'll break it down a little bit more. Thanks, man.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.